tied down thinking about form fields and this sequence and a you and your spouse column. But you and your spouse don't have to be parallel columns. We can enter that information for individuals in different ways. You know, we could have a your section step by step and a spouse section step by step if we wanted to do that. But if we don't blow it up and start thinking about it in a different way, how could it possibly be remixed and rearranged? We end up just tweaking and rearranging and ending up with something that looks a lot like what we started with. So I'm not going to ask you the really, really detailed things. I'm going to go around and say, how are we stepping through it? How are we regrouping content? Are we rethinking the way we are asking people to input? Are we measuring progress? Are we feeding them little bits of success as we go? Like as you enter data, does it build a plan? Does it give you an opportunity to graphically change and do scenario play? All of the things that we talked about in advance. All right, so we'll start at the back because y'all were like heads down instantly on this. So just answering those three core questions. How are we moving through things? Are we making a distinction between assumptions and what we're calculating? And what are some of the ways that we're trying to gather information and show progress through this form?
We're basically using an accordion pane to separate stages.
Okay.
And we use a graph to show as you input information, it will show the age and your goals and how it would change, and we also had sliders so that at a certain point you could adjust that to see how the chart would change.
So is the idea that we've got like the form fields and accordion panes on half of the page and then an interactive graph that updates and completes itself as we enter data, okay?
Right.
So is it able to start showing something right from the first section of data? Or did you rearrange the form field so that when you do the first part, the chart shows up and then everything else is a refinement? I mean, what if we get into a situation where I can't actually show anything until I'm done with step three or four or something like that?
Well, we started with the static. So tell us about you and tell us about your goals.
Okay.
And then the next accordion was how that will change. So, you know, how aggressively are you investing? How fast is your income, you know, growing,
okay,
changing? And then finally there were results, and that's where the sliders were. What if I invest more aggressively? You know, what if I save more aggressively?
All right.
And so that was all changing here on the graph.
Okay.
That was a function of money and time.
Okay, so basically we're saying we're collecting data, but then some of the key points, we're giving these sliders where the slider value is what I entered in the form, but I can tinker with it.
Mm-hmm.
If I get more aggressive, if I save more, if I save less, if I want more income or less income in retirement, if I live longer or die sooner,
yes,
change those things, right?
Right.
Okay, got it. What about the assumptions, the essential data? Did you try and pull out what things are pre-populated and refinements, what's optional, and how do we get into that? How do we, like on the New York Times calculator, there was a little button at the top that said advanced settings that we didn't click in until Andrea said, hey, how does Andrea, Miss Bruno, said, hey, what's that advanced settings thing do? What does it show, right? So that's a challenge. I didn't even tinker with it. I just went right into the graphic, ooh, interactive eye candy. So if you pulled that out, how do you engage someone with it? I don't know, did you pull it out?
Well, I think we had talked about like trying to combine some of the information, I think that was on a couple tabs there, and putting that in with the basic information.
Okay.
So like we had talked about, you know, the state, how much you have in savings right now, and how much you're currently investing, all that's not really, or how much you have in your savings, and how much you have in investments, those numbers aren't going to change, so all that basic information will be included in the very, very first step.
Right. But what about the things like tax rate and inflation rate and life expectancy, things that were pre-populated in this form with assumed values? Are they still in the general flow of the forms and you can just skip them or modify them if you want?
Yeah, those are like part of the status. They tell us about you. Are you male or female? Is your spouse male or female? And that will determine things like life expectancy.
Okay.
And then, you know, the state you're living in will determine tax rates, things like that.
Okay.
We also decided that we needed an add a spouse.
Yeah, where's the alimony?
Yeah, I don't like this. Or Allison's solution, my retirement plan calculator needs a sugar daddy button. Okay, last thing then. Anything that you thought was clever in your solution? That when you did it, you all kind of grinned at one another like, oh, I like that.
I think we like the sliders idea that you could adjust and see the visual change.
And have ripping off the rent versus own calculator, right?
Yeah.
The whole idea that I could see a dynamic change in this plot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really engaging for people whenever they make these adjustments and don't have to wait for a server hit.
We also felt like there's an educational component or opportunity here where you could educate somebody about, well, what if I, invest more aggressively?
Right.
Or what if I, move to a different state? That's what you can look at those factors and see how they change.
Yep. Yep. Where I live has an impact on how long my money might last, right? Okay, what about y'all? How are you moving through the experience? How are you indicating progress?
We kind of went for the accordion type thing as well. I liked the guys' idea of having some sort of questionnaire at the very beginning. I think that's because there's some assumptions that this just makes. Like, I was like, wait, your spouse is, you have a spouse, and they're this old, and they're going to be this old, and that's kind of silly. Or what year are you getting a divorce? No. Everything will change.
Yeah. Oh, this plan sucks. I'm going to get married at age 60.
Yeah.
I'm going to add some income by marrying.
Yeah. So we kind of did the accordion as well when you move through the pains. We kept the same general categories. We changed, it's with the accordions. What we wanted to do was have an arrow on the one that's, because they're different heights, you want to have an arrow on the one that you're actively in.
Okay.
As opposed to the accordion that is a fixed height one.
Oh. So
right?
It's going to be, it's more like a hide and show pain.
It's exactly a hide and show, but
yeah,
you can go through it, you can go through them.
Right.
We decided to change portfolio to investments because one is your savings and one is how you invest that savings.
Okay.
So we thought portfolio was a little misleading there. As far as feedback goes, we were thinking of Allison keeps calling it the blood drive graph. basically.
The UNICEF thermometer.
Totally, exactly. She's got it drawn right there. So we were thinking, at the outset, you could still populate that with what you need as far as, because you've already told you want to make X percent of this in retirement. You know how many years you're supposed to live and all that. So you'd know that here's where you need to hit. And then when you put in your income, it fills in, this part of it, but it's, and so you don't get this dismal picture of, oh gosh, it shows that there's possibilities for other things, but they're grayed out until you fill them in.
Okay.
So that it starts to raise and raise.
Okay.
As time goes on. What we didn't figure out, and I think that this is something we need to figure out, is how you show the probability that you're going to reach that.
Yes, so that part of the charting stuff, that's a detail we don't need to get into here, but they're not communicating that very well here, right? It's like, what's my percentage? You have to read the text and read the small print to get that. Okay, and your group, how did you solve the stepping through step by step? Was there progress, summary, building a plan, interactive drag the chart around?
So,
or did you just
like
learn a lot
else,
about slavery?
We kind of went through the accordion step by step.
Okay. So 3 out of 3 chose an accordion pain method.
One
variation
that I was thinking, because it seems like you have to put in so much data to start getting the graphs and the charts to actually have something to populate them with. Start out with some basic, like what's your wish? What do you want? Like kind of. Everybody kind of has an idea of how much money they have. Put that in. How old are you? When do you want to retire? Mm-hmm. How much money do you want to have? Like 4 quick questions, and that will give you a basic graph. And as you go through the steps, it'll start populating new things.
Okay.
As you input new stuff in there.
I was waiting until we got through all 3 groups because I was going to ask that. how many people took the approach of gathering the essential data and then showing a plan as quickly as possible and then allowing people to refine that plan with more detailed information. So what's the bare minimum necessary to show a potential plan and then making it more accurate by getting additional detail? And in a way, it's a lot like dealing with search results, right? So we put in a search term and then we filter the results to get more specific about what we're actually looking for. This is analogous to that. The basic data, here's a rough plan, you know, it's like taking the back of a napkin sketch and then turning it into a Picasso. You know, it's like, doodle doodle, but now let's put it on the canvas and make it more than it is. So giving people, instead of saying, let me collect all this data from you and then I'll show you something, it's more like, here, basic stuff, here's a rough sketch, ballparkish, yes, no, let's make it better and refine it and invite people to modify something. Giving people the opportunity to improve something, to refine something, is usually more engaging than trying to collect all the data up front. Everything first, because they get bored putting in all of the data. So I like this approach, the idea of something basic and then build it out. So when building it out, did you try to be graphically related to the plan, you know, like with sliders or with manipulating the graph itself, or was it still entering data but seeing how it changes the plan?
I think it was still entering data and seeing how it changes. But then as we were going through that other site and we both noticed the fine tune, mm-hmm. The little drawer that slid out and had all these extra little things that okay. you can slide or click on it and that would build on it.
Right. Even. So for those of you who are wondering what site they're looking at, I tried to pull it up, but it doesn't want to play nicely with my browser. It's called slaveryfootprint.org. So check it out. Look for the little next is on one side. So as you step through, and then the fine tune is on the other side. So you can see how what they're doing is focusing on an essential data point in each step. They're wrapping it in education, but then there's the fine tune option to collect a little bit more information. It all feels very graphical, but if you take a look at the experience, you see they're really just buttons, checkboxes, radio buttons, and sliders, right? They're just combo boxes. They're the regular form fields that have been skinned up to a different experience. And it feels really different, even though it's the same type of an input mechanism. So check that out. Any other sort of wow things, or that's cool, or made you grin, or challenges?
We talked a little bit about presenting the results, kind of like medicine with a spoonful of sugar, like maybe instead of just this difficult to decipher and often scary news, you kind of lead with what you can do, especially if you have they've entered a goal in the beginning to reflect on so you can know how much of a disparity there is and then actionable items.
Right. I'm listening. I'm just going to go to a site here for a second and see if I can find something. I don't remember where it is, so I'm just hoping that we find a Mashable. Oh, look, Brittany is also Google Plus most. Yay. That's news, people. Okay.
Oh, jeez.
Tell me something important. Here we go. So these are not always well constructed from a statistical standpoint. So that's my caveat here. But they are exceptionally popular. But people are growing increasingly accustomed to seeing these data-driven infographics. A lot of times they actually do more distortion than they do justice to the data. But this type of representation can be leveraged to help people understand what the numbers mean more effectively, right? Like, you can imagine thinking about, this is a bar chart and a pie chart, but we're overlaying with a certain amount of information to try and place context around it. Comparison, time, increases, you know, conversion rate up, what is the range? So not necessarily that we would use any of these, but thinking about this with a pop infographic style, can sometimes be useful to learn from. So we know that the percentage of success is buried. We know that the total amount saved is buried. We know what you really should be saving is kind of buried. How do we identify those 3 to 5 key data points that are really essential to understand, are you on the right track or not? And how do we call them out? How do we represent them in a big, bold, meaningful way? So maybe thinking less about just everything in 12-point text and in a bar chart, and more about how would we turn this into like a slide, right? Like if this were a keynote slide, how might we represent it? What are some of the ways that we can create context, support it with information, and draw attention to the key points? Not everything has to be big like this, but if you want people to get a message, you make the message big. And this is one way to try and address that. Okay, so the assignment next week, this is your last week of wireframes, I promise. We're going to continue on with wireframing. There's a set of options here. There's an or, so you get to choose. Thinking about your, basically we're sticking with the vacation maker here, and thinking about how can we revisit this idea of inputs and maybe custom input fields or different visual interaction methods to gather data or show people options. How many people have been using like an interactive map for building a vacation? Yeah, I mean, so that's an opportunity right there, right? So how do I build this? Where do I go? And maps don't have to be of the world. I can go to Venice and have a map of Venice and actually plan the museums and the canals and the island tour and stuff and see it visually. Where am I going? Where am I staying? How far is this? So here's your hotel, estimated travel time to this museum, to this boat tour, things like that. How long should I allocate? Where's my restaurant reservation? All kinds of stuff. Helps people get a spatial, temporal understanding of their vacation that might be different. So that's the kind of thing that you could possibly explore. So you can read these, figure it out. But basically the idea this time around is go back and think about blowing up your data forms, right? Rethink how you might gather and display the data about building a vacation. And it doesn't have to be for every component. So you don't have to do it for flight and for hotel and car and activities. You can pick one of them and just revisit that one. So it's a handful of wireframes.
Yeah, you should have told me earlier.
It's to try. I can't tell you everything as we go along because we've got blinders on now, right? We've been thinking so traditional web and web forms and form fields and stuff like that. I want you to just open up the aperture, right? See the world a little bit bigger again and revisit some of the work that you've done and how might you gather and display data in a different and more interactive way. And that's what we'll take a look next week. Next week, we're gonna talk about heuristics and starting to figure out how we apply what we've learned in the past 13 weeks in these classes. Believe it or not, you've probably learned a lot more than you realize you have learned in the classes. So we're going to start figuring out how do we apply that. All right, as always, if you have any questions, drop me a note, let me know. Have a good week, and I will see you next Monday.